Stay connected to Boston sports.
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 98.5 thesportshub.com.
Admit it.
Touch her.
It turns you on.
Enrich.
That's your mother's dream.
Touch her and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Penalties are the story of the first half, and they came at key times. As Doug Marrone just talked about that delay of game penalty that his team took. But how about this one? Doug Marrone said this was the right call. Barry Church helped the helmet. Unnecessary roughness. Now it's Gillette Stadium, so the flags have to come out, don't they, boys?
Yeah.
And they come out in favor of the Patriots right here. I don't know about this call against A.J. Bouye, but Tom Brady gets them up to the line of scrimmage, first and goal. James White, that's an easy walking touchdown.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and each week at this time, we check in with Boomer Esiason from CBS Sports and the NFL on CBS. Hello, Boomer.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Looks like we're right back where we started, right?
What time, what day do you get into Minneapolis?
I get into Minneapolis next Sunday night.
Same with us.
Yeah, so I will see you Monday morning in person, unfortunately.
And you will not make fun of me, my appearance.
Well, it all depends on how you look. If you look like you're, like, you know, a grunge rocker or something, then I'll make fun of you.
Well, that's a timely reference. I appreciate that.
Yes, you're very welcome. I'm sure you're sitting there right now with your, you know, with your matted hair, and you've probably got some sort of flannel shirt on. I could see it right now.
Yeah, well, you know, my days have passed. My glory days. Well, Boomer, very controversial. Something you said at halftime.
Yes, what's that?
I have the quote. It said, it's Gillette Stadium, so the flags have to come out, don't they, boys? And obviously, many people in New England are pissed that you said that, thinking that there's some sort of home cooking for the Patriots. What did you mean by that comment yesterday?
What I meant by that comment was the pass interference call on A.J. Bouye. I really thought it was very questionable. For the most part, they let both teams play last night, and that play came right at the end of the first half, and you know, it was a very questionable play. The hit on Rob Gronkowski was certainly a penalty. Nobody disputes that. I don't dispute that, and certainly would never dispute that, especially given the fact that, you know, we're all dealing with head injuries in some respect or shape or form. But at the end of the day, that was a really questionable pass interference in my eyes. So, when we do halftimes, I always think about how fans view games, and I always like to point out things that are pretty, I think, obvious that other people are afraid to say, and I'm not. So it's what I thought. It was in my heart, and I just felt like that was a flag that was unnecessary.
But saying that insinuates that there is a track record of that happening at Gillette, that this is a pattern, that they do get these calls that other places don't get. The Gillette Stadium, you see this happen more than in other places.
Philadelphia got some calls yesterday. It's one of the reasons why you want to play at home, you know? And I don't think for any minute or shape or form that the officials are wrong in their assessments. In other words, I'm not trying to say that, you know, they're bought off or any of that other stuff. It happens. That's why you have home field advantage. I mean, I could probably point to a number of penalties that went against the Patriots when they were on the road at Denver trying to get to Super Bowl 50. So that's why you want home field advantage. You want the madness of the home fans. You want the crowd on fire. You want to feed off of that energy. And I think both the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles did just that.
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Fred.
Was there ever a point in that game where you thought Jacksonville was going to win?
No. I never did. As a matter of fact, I already did a CBS Sports minute this morning that basically characterizes the Patriots as relentless. You got to play a four-quarter game. And, you know, you could have the best first half of your life, which is exactly what Jacksonville and Blake Bortles had. But in order to beat the Patriots in Gillette Stadium, you got to play a full four quarters. The relentless nature of the team from field position that a lot of people don't even take into account when it comes to special teams. When do you punt? When don't you punt? Amendola's fake poison call on the 20-yard return that he had late in the game. They set them up for their final touchdown to the way that all of a sudden in the second half, Jacksonville could not run the football a lick. The Patriot defenders stuck right to the wide receivers of Jacksonville. I don't think that there were any penalties in that regard. There were no, I know the Jacksonville Jaguars players were thinking that there could have been a couple of pass interference calls against the Patriots secondary players. I didn't see that. But then, of course, there's Tom Brady. And Tom Brady's brilliance is that when the game is on the line in the fourth quarter, he always, I mean, literally 95% of the time, makes the right throw, makes the right play. They don't take the ball out of his hand. They put the ball into his hand. They let him make the decisions at the line of scrimmage. And if you want to win, especially in an AFC championship game in Gillette Stadium, you got to be buttoned up and you got to be four quarters. And I just felt like it looked to me that Coach Belichick said, there's no way Blake Bortles is beating us. So we're going to stop the run and force him to make throws, and those throws just never happened.
Now, Boomer, now that we know what Tom Brady's injury was, looks like he sliced up underneath his thumb there. It's like 12 stitches they were reporting. How can you kind of put in perspective, is that difficult to play through? If you're a quarterback, Boomer, I don't know if you ever had any kind of injury that was similar to that, but can you kind of put in perspective what he went through and whether or not that was difficult?
It's very difficult, and the fact that he threw the ball as well as he did and as accurately as he did is nothing more than shocking to most of us who have played the game. I mean, Phil and I are sitting there saying, okay, wait a minute, he's got this thing wrapped around the bottom of his hand, and he's got to try to grip the football first and foremost, but every time that ball is hitting his hand, or every time somebody else is hitting his hand, or he's falling on it, it's got to be painful, and he's got to be worrying about ripping those stitches open and blood coming out into his hand and making his hand slippery. So that's what makes the legend, I guess, of Tom Brady, if you will, even that much more impactful, watching how he played yesterday under those conditions. And by the way, they were playing against one of the best defenses in football, and he basically tore him apart in the second half when he needed to play, especially 3rd and 18, to Danny Amendola, and watching how he had to stand in there, take the hit as he was throwing the football, the ball delivered right on the money, and Amendola coming up yet with another huge play in his Patriots history was sheer brilliance.
Does Brady seem weird to you? Did you watch him after the game?
I don't know if he seems weird. I mean, he's always been a little bit off, I think, you know, in a good way.
Isn't it evolving into something real strange? Like his teeth are growing?
Maybe it's the TB12 method or something. It was kind of interesting when Jim Nance did ask him about the performance with the hand and all that other stuff. And, you know, he kind of smirked and said, I guess we'll see. How is that? That's not usually Tom, but so what? Let him have his moment. I mean, he'll probably end up doing it again in Minneapolis in 2 weeks, too. You watch.
Yeah. Listen, the TB12 thing, it's weird. It's like he's aging backwards. It's like Benjamin Button disease.
I got the book on my coffee table. I've opened it up, and I got through about 5 pages. I said, wait a minute, Tom, I can't live my life like this.
No, who would want to?
Right, well, I don't know. I guess he wants to because he wants all the Super Bowls, so good for him. And hey, look, if it works, just keep on doing it. That's what I say.
All right, well, how are we supposed to react to a Nick Foles Eagles team? Like, this is very strange going into this because we know, obviously, the Eagles were excellent all season long, and Nick Foles was great last night, but it's also Nick Foles. So what chances do you give them in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady and what that team's able to do?
You know what it is? It's kind of like a puncher's chance. You know, like if you land a blow here or a blow there and you can continue to follow that, then you got a chance. You know, I believe one of the reasons why they won the games that they did, number one, they were playing the underdog card. So there is a psychological little bit of warfare there, if you will, if you are the Philadelphia Eagles and you're playing in front of your home 70,000 lunatic fans, you know, that are beating people up before games and beating up people after games and everything else. And your team kind of reflects that in a good way, you know, in the best possible way that it can. And I just think they overwhelmed both the Falcons, you know, and the Minnesota Vikings. Heck, I picked the Minnesota Vikings to win, and I still think this morning after I wake up that if that game would have been played in Minnesota, the game would have been flipped. It would have been the other way around. So now what to make of it on a neutral field, that's going to be, you know, the million-dollar question here. I guess we'll have 2 weeks to figure it out. Nick has played great. You know, it's kind of a redemption for him. I did their Monday night game against Oakland right after Carson Wentz went down, and he basically got booed off the field. And I'm like, wait a minute, man, he's a backup quarterback, for God's sake. So, you know, he's done a good job here. You know, last night he was great, but the last six quarters of football for the Minnesota Vikings, especially on defense, has been their worst football of the year, and they've played it at the worst time.
All right, so there was a story that broke out this week that we knew that things were kind of screwy with the Steelers, the way that they were looking past the Jaguars, and they were, you know, looking forward to re-meeting the Patriots and playing them again. But then you're starting to hear the stories about Le'Veon Bell, who I guess missed all but 5 minutes of the Jaguars' walkthrough before the game. On top of that, you're hearing that Tomlin, you know, wants his players to only be there 2 hours before the game, and you've got coaches showing up late. They didn't name which ones. how much of this is on Tomlin? And this isn't a good look for him, obviously.
No, it's not. I mean, I've said it openly for probably the last year and a half now, because I go back to Ben Roethlisberger last year saying that they have to tighten things up around here. And I know exactly what he meant. And what he meant is this crap that we're talking about right now. I mean, look, they are so talented, it's ridiculous. That's why they win, because they're just so much better than most of the teams that they play against. But when you get to play against the PhD of football, and that's Bill Belichick and, of course, his coaching staff, and then it goes down to his players in every facet of the football game, you got to be buttoned up, you got to be tightened up, you got to be disciplined, you can't be dysfunctional. And that's one of the reasons why I think Coach Belichick picks the players he picks. He doesn't want those players that are thinking the way that some of those Steeler players are thinking. Or he doesn't want those coaches, to be thinking the way that the Steeler coaches are thinking. And that's why they win. And at the end of the day, all Belichick does, and it's amazing to me, whether he builds an organization from silo to silo to silo, meaning whatever your job is, you just do that job, and in some way, somehow, it will impact the franchise in a positive way. It also makes it to the players. I'm not so sure that the players love every aspect of it, but all I can tell you, when they're standing there on that stage last night, the proof is in the performance, and it's in what has happened here. They just continue to win. So if you want to win, you have to become a Patriot, and you got to follow the Patriot way. I'm telling you guys, it is so in demand. It's one of the reasons why Mike Vrabel, the neophyte that he is when it comes to coaching, got the job in Tennessee. The general manager there came from New England. The general manager in Detroit came from New England. You know, why do they want Matt Patricia? Why do they want Mike Vrabel? Why does Indianapolis want Josh McDaniels? Because they want to replicate what they have in New England. What they can't do, however, is bring Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick is really the reason why it is the way it is.
All right. You excited for those two fan bases in the same city?
You know, I am. I figured either way, as long as the Patriots made it, it was going to be a great 2 weeks prior to the Super Bowl, because everybody needs stars. And the stars in this case are Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and, of course, the coordinators who are no longer going to be with the team after the team, I think, is going to beat Philadelphia. But Philadelphia is going to bring a passion and an edge to this game that we haven't seen in quite some time, so I look forward to it.
No, we're talking about the idiots in Philadelphia last night driving dune buggies up the stairs where Rocky was.
I know.
I mean, tell me this. That just made the Super Bowl 10 times more fun.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think there's all sorts of things that can go on there. But I was in Minneapolis this past week. I feel bad for the Viking fan, because the Viking fan in Minneapolis was so jacked up after the way they won last week against the Saints that this disappointment is just about as bad as it gets. But I will say this: it's going to be interesting. It's going to be flamboyant, if you will. It's going to be intense
and
it's
violent.
Let's hope it doesn't get violent. Let's hope it doesn't get violent, because it's football. Let's just enjoy the game as best we can.
All right. Well, Boomer Esiason, we look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks, and enjoy a little time off from the TV.
All right. Sounds good, guys. I'll see you next week.
Right, see you, Red.
See you, boys. Bye.
Welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium as we celebrate an unforgettable ending to one season and kick off a new campaign full of promise.
Julian Edelman suffered a complete ACL tear in his right knee last night. That means he is expected to miss the entire season.
We feel badly for Julian. Hope that he will have a complete recovery, but the team will have to move on and we'll have to compete in this season without him.
Tom off the snap, drops back, he pumps, he throws it left, he's looking for Kutch in the end zone! It's a touchdown! Patriots!
You never count this kid out. Cooks with the catch of his life as a Patriot.
Dont'a Hightower had an injury, but it turns out he's got a torn pec, and he's going to be out for the season. So this is a blow to the Patriots' defense that had shown signs of improvement.
Carr dropping back, stepping up, lobbing a long ball, and intercepted off the deflection by Daron Harmon!
Jimmy Garoppolo, seemingly the heir apparent to your position, has been traded to the 49ers for a second-round 2018 pick.
Jimmy was a great teammate, and he's a great friend, and he always will be. I want nothing but the very best for him.
Roethlisberger under center, drops back, pumps, throws to the middle. It's back incomplete, intercepted by Harmon! Deflection to Harmon! An interception in the end zone! The Patriots are going to win in Pittsburgh!
I don't know what to say anymore, I really don't.
Bill Belichick did
did not want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, and it's really caused problems that have been behind the scenes for months between the three most powerful men in New England.
Hand off to Deion, runs it through the left side, into the end zone, touchdown, and the lead to the Patriots.
Championship drive.
Takes the snap, bounces the pocket, and as he throws left, touchdown, yeah. Rob Gronkowski, his second of the day.
In your face. Brady gets drilled and gets right up and says, keep bringing it.
The collision that Tom Brady was involved in, his right throwing hand making contact with one of his Patriots teammates. They feel like this could have a little bit of an effect on him in the game on Sunday.
Brady takes the snap, hands it to White, runs his left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. Takes the snap, throws down the middle, catch by Amendola, dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. Takes the snap, the play fakes to White, fires and the ball is...
5, the Sports Over Toucher and Rich. The previous CBS Sports Minute was brought to you by Schultz Law. And Rich, what do you want to start with? You want to start with a little Robert Kraft? You want to start with a little...
Let's do the Robert Kraft thing, because we've been hearing ever since the Seth Wickersham article came out from ESPN saying that there was a rift between Robert Kraft and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Denied.
The team obviously denied that. And
something that the fans of the Patriots, the super fans... just blamed on a media concoction.
Mm. And Bill Belichick said, well, you know, when someone asked him, will you be back next year? He said, absolutely. I want to make sure I phrase that correctly. I think that was the exchange on that conference call. And there was something that was said yesterday by Robert Kraft that didn't involve hot dogs. But in the NFL Network, yeah, he was asked about the situation with Bill Belichick. I thought this was an interesting exchange that happened with Robert Kraft last night.
I've been around enough. If you run any kind of company, any kind of business, the more successful you are, you have strong personalities, there's always a certain amount of tension. And that just goes with the agenda. There's a lot of strong-minded people, but when you have something good going, everyone's got to get their egos checked in and try to hold it together.
So that tells you that there's some substance to that story. And you can try to explain it away, but, I mean, Kraft was being honest. That any time that you have success, that you got to, there's going to be tensions, and that you got to get not let your ego in the way. And so that tells me that there was some infighting.
Yeah, I mean, he could have just come out and said, we have a great working relationship, and I'm confident that Tom and Bill Belichick will be here as long as they want to be.
I mean,
he
could have
said something
anything,
that completely shot that down, but
no.
that was really weird. Check our egos. And I'm not one who likes to blow things up to be bigger than they are, but that was the one bit of concerning audio that I heard last night as far as what the future holds.
I don't think it has anything to do with the future. I think that it, not necessarily even, I just think that it shows that Wickersham wasn't full of crap. It shows that there was indeed tension. What he says there's tension. Wickersham's article said there was tension. He said people have to check their egos, which obviously means that the cause of that tension were the personalities of the people that were involved in it. And I don't think he's talking about Matthew Slater and Andrews. You know,
right.
He's talking about Brady and Belichick.
The one thing we don't know, though, is the degree of that tension. Is the tension bad enough to blow it apart, or is the tension still workable?
I mean, it's obvious it's there.
But, and that, I agree with you guys, has basically confirmed that Wickersham is, you know, on the right path.
Yes.
But by the same token, we don't know if it's bad enough, as Wickersham basically stated in his article, to blow this up at the end of the season.
No, well, I don't think they're going to blow it up at the end of the season, but it shows that there's things have to change and that there has to be some dialogue and work on this problem as they move forward.
The extent of that quote, there's a part that I guess isn't in there at the very beginning. Just to put it in context, he says, Robert Kraft says, in life, you know, the hardest thing is to surround yourself with quality people, even in a marriage, if it's your partner, and then having continuity. He said, life is difficult, especially if you're doing things at a high level. Having continuity, keeping things going, you know that fact that Tommy and Bill Belichick and my family have been together for 18 years. There's a lot of strong-minded people, but when you have something good going, everybody's got to get their egos checked and try to hold it together.
Right. So Wickersham was right.
As we all expected at the beginning.
Yes, of course. The whole thing against Wickersham was hysterical.
No.
Like you're doing it right before the playoffs. No, Wickersham's a good reporter. He had a bunch of sources, and he went with the story. That's all.
Does it make you worry that this might be the end of it?
No.
Not right now.
See, I think there's one more year, too, because from what everything we're hearing is that Bill Belichick has another one after this.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. I mean, Brady's still obviously playing well, but as you said, there is still in my mind a small chance that Belichick, if they win this, might walk away because his entire coaching staff is more than likely gone. And to have to bring in a whole bunch of new people or at least...
he's done it. He did it before.
I understand, but he was also younger before.
Yeah, it was younger and the team was all
actually,
in its
was
prime.
It after they beat Philadelphia the last time that this happened?
It was, yep. Yeah. That was when Cornell and Weiss, what? Right?
Yeah. Weiss went to Notre Dame and Cornell went wherever Cornell went. I don't know off the top of my head.
It was the Super Bowl cash-in.
Yes.
You know?
So, yeah, this is... He's older now. And I don't think he gets out of football at any point anyway. Maybe he takes the front office role with the Patriots or something. I don't know. But that is interesting comments from Mr. Robert Kraft.
Is it as interesting as this?
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice? You like it, right?
The Beatles stuff in the background to me makes that quote. It really does. Of all the music to be playing while Kraft is talking about hot dogs.
Indeed.
1964 or whatever it is.
And that's, you know, he's been drinking water up there every time they show him. You don't hear any difference before the game and after the game?
With him, those two?
With those clips. You don't hear anything different between Kraft at the beginning of the game when he's talking about...
I don't know when that egos check was. I think it was after the game. I think they're both after the game.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they're both afterwards.
Oh, no, ego was pregame.
Oh, it was pregame? No, I really don't, other than it just being a weird content. But the way he's speaking seems to be pretty
quick. Just give me a little bit of the first one and then a little bit of the second one.
Okay.
I've been around enough. If you run any kind of company,
Okay, and then...
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice? You like it, right?
Yeah, I mean, what's a little more easy going, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little more laid back.
He's feeling it?
Are we gonna pretend that they don't sound different?
They
now?
Do sound different, yeah, they do.
Nothing wrong with enjoying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with enjoying yourself. Believe me, you. Man, the man started as a fan in the stands, just like everyone else. And now he went on to own a team and become one of the best owners in sports.
So I call him Mr. Lemonade.
And say nuggets like that. All right, so we have some stuff from Tony Romo, plus we'll take your calls. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Takes the snap. He play fakes to White. He looks down the middle. He fires, and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola. Touchdown. Patriots.
It's a catch.
He made the grab just inside the end line. And New England is taking the lead.
I love Tom Brady. Man, Danny, playoff Amendola. So many on his drive. Amendola elevates 1 foot.
What a catch.
2 foot.
Never a doubt. Never a doubt in that entire game.
You know what's funny, Fred? Every time, more and more, when I see Amendola play, and I saw that play last night, the first thing I thought was, Welker should have made that catch in the Super Bowl.
Should Brandon Cooks have made that?
Amendola, well, hang on. But, and Amendola has been doing that for a while now. But last night, that was the first thing I thought of, is that, you know what? You make that catch.
Okay.
And it just makes Welker look even worse.
That's getting his feet down was very impressive. Yeah. But the catch that I think most mirrors the Welker situation is when, do you think Cooks should have caught that ball?
Absolutely,
yes.
he should have caught that ball.
Yep, without
doubt. Because that was easy. That was easier than what happened to Welker.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
much
yeah.
easier. I think
we all agree on that.
That was Brady's fault with Welker. I'll go to my grave saying that. But there was never a point in that game, never, that, and it's funny because this is a compliment to the Patriots because they just don't do these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But Jacksonville crapped themselves. They mismanaged the clock. They had the, out of a timeout, they got a delay a game penalty. The center was paying no attention to what was going on. I mean, they would have gotten it off with 2 seconds if the center had any idea what was going on. Maybe it was crowd noise. And, you know, they gave Brady an opportunity to go down the field. That doesn't happen to the Patriots. That just doesn't happen.
It might be the only team. It happens to every team. Like, I mean, eating up with the Steelers. I mean, if you look at the elite teams.
Well, I'm starting to think a little bit differently than about Tomlin now that all this information.
Yeah. That story came out this past week is wild.
I'm starting to think that Tomlin is not the greatest at controlling his players.
That story comes out, almost any other coach gets fired. So if you didn't hear what happened, is Le'Veon Bell, it was reported this weekend, that he only showed up for the last 5 minutes of the walkthrough before the Jacksonville game. I mean, you talk about this team and the impression that they were taking Jacksonville lightly. There it is right there. On top of that, the players aren't required to show up for the game until just 2 hours before the game. Doesn't that seem like pretty light? Like,
well, Brady walking in there 7 hours ahead of time. It doesn't look that good.
It's not even that. It's like, I think the last bus that for most teams, if you're coming from a hotel, is like 3 hours. And that's like the late bus to get there. So you're getting there just, you know, barely in time. On top of that, there's reports that some of the coaching staff was late showing up for some of these games. Now, I'm not going to say it was Todd Haley, but it was probably Todd Haley.
Yeah. Todd Haley's an interesting guy.
Yeah, the new offensive coordinator in Cleveland. Boy, that's a step up.
Todd Haley's got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. So, and who runs the roost there? Mr. Mike Tomlin. I'm a guy's guy. I everything you're reading about him, just, and you saw it last year with the playoffs where he was talking to his team and Antonio Brown is FaceTiming the whole time, not paying attention to him.
It's interesting because when all of these stories keep coming out, and on top of the Antonio Brown Facebook thing, I look at Tomlin now, beginning to look at him as a better version of Rex Ryan, where he just doesn't have a lot of institutional control. Players mouth off. Now, the
Rex Ryan with more talent.
The players are better that are playing for Tomlin than Ryan had for the New York Jets at times. But doesn't that kind of smack of the way Rex Ryan controls things a little bit?
If you, on paper, the Steelers are a much better team than the Patriots.
Yes, yes. Other than, of course, the coach and quarterback. I mean, we've had this discussion.
Roethlisberger is good enough. That obviously he's not as good as Brady, but he's good enough where
he's
can
a Hall
take
of Famer. He's a borderline.
To say they're the most talented team,
a borderline Hall of Famer.
No, he's in the Hall of Fame.
He's in the Hall of Fame. The minute his name's on that,
Roethlisberger's in the Hall of Fame. There should be no
Hall
debate.
Hall of Famer. Tomlin obviously not nearly the coach that Belichick is.
But I'm saying on paper, Belichick's not on paper.
Who's the most talented team in the NFL? Who has the most talent?
Steelers.
Yes, it's an easy answer to throw out there. In totality, they are the most talented team out there.
So I mean, Tomlin wins. I mean, he has a history of winning, he didn't have the kind of talent he has now, but he does seem to have lost control of that team.
I mean, we've heard this a million times. How many times does a manager or a coach end up being there too long and the message is falling on deaf ears? We saw it with Frank Kona. We've talked about all this before, and it's just got to be time with Tomlin.
Well, I'm not giving Bell any kind of money if I'm the Steelers.
I don't want him on my team. I don't want. I mean, he is the best running back in football, and the problem is he knows it and acts like it.
By the way, running back becoming, you know how it was passe to think that running game meant anything?
It's huge.
It's
now
coming around again. this year, you look around.
Now I'm taking the kid from Penn State in the top five.
Saquon Barkley.
Because it's not going to last forever, but for 5 years, if you have an elite running back, I mean, that's...
If you get the right one, yes, that's true. It's not an invitation for everyone to take running backs and reach for them in the first round.
No.
But if you have a generational running back, quarterback, right. You don't wait.
If you have, if you can get a guy like Fournette, or you can get right. a guy like
Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley,
or this kid Barkley, or Adrian Peterson a while back. I mean, you get those guys in the top five, you can build an offense around him. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can build an offense around them, and it's becoming quite critical. I mean, if the Patriots didn't listen to me and didn't take Deion Lewis, who John Wallach poo-pooed.
I did.
The entire time I talked of Deion Lewis, even before he was a Patriot.
That was your football Draymond Green, Fred. You were on the Deion Lewis train before anybody else.
I've made my mistakes, sure.
It's true.
I've made my mistakes.
But when you hit it, it sometimes is a home run.
Well, I also told you Hoyer was going to be a quarterback, and I was laughed in the face by who's he watch that does the weekends here, that writes for the paper.
Chris Gasper.
Yeah. Laughed in my face. I said, Hoyer's going to make this team. Those three things I was right about. But, I'm not. If I'm the Steelers, I'm not keeping Le'Veon Bell. No way. All right, so we got some stuff from Romo. We've had full phone lines. How about that? The Patriots fans are very excited. What a team. I mean, really. They lose Gronkowski, and then you figure that Jacksonville takes a deep breath. They don't have to double-team anyone. And then all of a sudden, Brandon Cooks and Amendola go off. But what a team.
It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter, and it's never in doubt.
It doesn't matter.
It is amazing, though, that Cooks, who is much maligned at times, how he doesn't fight for the football, whatever the case may be,
still has 100 yards.
He was huge yesterday, despite that drop. He was huge yesterday.
Yeah. He was huge. I mean, he was the one, once Gronkowski went down, that for a good period of that game was in control of that offense. And I'll tell you, that defense slowed down. They were kicking the hell out of the Patriots in the beginning of that game. And Deion Lewis wasn't even getting to plant his feet. You know how he could make people miss that way? They were getting to him. They weren't missing tackles. And then by that fourth quarter, there was no pressure on Brady. The people were finding holes and missing tackles. I mean, Jacksonville made mistakes. The Patriots didn't make any mistakes, and the Patriots ultimately exposed Jacksonville. And I don't blame Jacksonville for running Fournette like that, even when he wasn't picking anything up, because they need to run the ball. Even if they don't gain anything, they need to have that. You can't have Bortles just going back, putting five out.
It's not the last time you're going to see this team in a big game, by the way. Jacksonville, I looked at it real quick. I might have missed a guy or two, but they have just about everybody back next year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be back around again.
Yep. They might have a better quarterback. Who knows? You never know. All right, we'll be back. We got some stuff from the Rome.
Toucher and Rich.
Wake up.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and 15 from New England's 43. Trips to the wide side left. One to the right. Low snap to Bortles. Backs Harrison. Up. Pressured by Harrison. Bortles runs up and throws deep downfield. And the throw is stopped away by Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore leaving his feet, reaching out with his right hand, and swatting down a pass intended for D.D. Westbrook.
Play the game.
Again, no other team makes that play.
Is that Gilmore?
No other team makes that play in that situation.
My favorite play of the game.
No one else makes that play. I don't know how they do it, but you just... It was a good game, and I enjoyed watching it, but I just was never in doubt. Because you know how kids are, and then they'll be like, they like the team that's in the lead?
Sure.
And my son was like, we have these things, coupons, like you get something, you know? And he's like, I bet you three coupons, and I'm like, 100.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Yeah.
Like, you can play the Xbox 24 hours a day if they win.
How many fourth quarter come from behinds have they had? This season there's been a few.
You knew at the second half, you knew the last 2 minutes of the second half when Jacksonville screwed all that up, that was it. That they had to play a perfect game, and the idea that they screwed that whole up. Because if they get the first down there when they got the delay game penalty, now you're talking, because now they get up a couple scores, and you know you're making it a little bit more difficult. I still think the Patriots would have won, but it's just one of those things. And then they didn't run the clock down to the 2 minute warning. Then they gave Brady an opportunity, 2 minutes with two timeouts, to go down the field, and you knew they were going to score.
And that that touchdown catch, I mean, that really was, Danny Amendola has been unbelievable. But you know who else is unbelievable is Tony Romo and his calls. He has been someone who all year long has been shining in the booth. To be quite honest, I thought he was fine until last night.
No, last he's been night, terrible.
I know. Here's the deal. You for a few weeks have been on the anti-Romo.
You guys didn't even hear the crickets.
Nope,
I didn't.
You did not even hear the crickets.
Never
heard it. Because there's Tony Romo's fine, whatever. Tony Romo does something that's inexplicable.
Would it be this, Fred? Let's take a listen. This is the Danny Amendola catch that was, for some reason, inexplicably shown over and over again.
Take the context out. You know how much I hate replay? Take all that out. Why they were replaying it, all of it. Focus entirely on Tony Romo's voice.
Brady looking around. Caught. Amendola with another catch. Colvin reached out to knock it down, and somehow it was threaded right into the hands of Amendola. Never touched him. That's a catch.
I know they called it a catch.
Some good sound effects, but I didn't see anything there.
All right. Please stop doing this. You're killing me.
That's Nance saying, it is horrible as Nance is. That's Nance saying, all right, knock it off.
Brady looking around. Amendola with another catch. Colvin reached out to knock it down, and somehow it was threaded right under the hands of Amendola. That's a catch.
I know they call it a catch.
Some good sound effects, but
is that whale song? I
didn't see anything there.
It's a baby whale, man.
It is. Do we have any more of him?
Of Tony Romo?
Every effing replay. Stop it. Sit down with him and go, stop that. Stop it.
What's happening here?
It's been especially bad the last few weeks. Well, maybe because I've reached my tolerance limit, but the last few weeks have been worse than the previous 12 or 13.
With his stupid crickets. Quick.
We should have brought that up to Boomer. You're right. That's one thing we forgot to bring up. The cricket sound effects. That is, although we're not going to have to deal. Who's doing the Super Bowl this year?
NBC.
Okay, yeah. So you're not going to have to deal with that anymore.
Fox.
Buck and Aikman have it. Yeah.
By the way, Buck.
It's NBC? Yeah. Dancing is NBC.
Okay. Whatever. But I'll tell you what, Joe Buck looking real manly with that beard. That beard looks like he went to a barber shop and taped some hair on the floor on his face.
Just picking up, he's like a Wooly Willy?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the magnet face?
Yes.
Never touched him. That's a catch.
At the rodeo.
Take all the context out of it. First of all, that was a catch. I don't even know what they were looking, what he was going about. But even take, he does that 20 times a game.
Yeah, he does it. He does it plenty. I think there were at least three times yesterday that he did that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every replay.
Yeah.
Ooh-hee-ha.
He does it every replay.
Him and Cedric Maxwell. He was like a sandwich reference away from being Cedric Maxwell.
No, Cedric Maxwell just says nonsense words. He doesn't sit there and make... Oh, God, I hate him. If he didn't do that, I wouldn't care. I don't care about the broadcasters generally. Just don't make that noise. And I love that Microsoft has in their commercial that, hey, it's the replay of the week. That might just as well be, hey, it's the punch to the stomach of the week. Hey, Microsoft's around when you're really bored and don't want this happening.
Let's associate our product with something you hate.
Yes. You know, we're responsible for them to be able to look at these things for 5 minutes. I always see that Microsoft commercial. And then the other commercial I can't stand is any commercial where, did you see the commercial where the guy, like, he always gets deliberately the wrong thing for the house so he can go drive to the store?
Yeah, there's a Thanksgiving commercial.
Yeah. What's really great is driving to the store. Like, oh, man, I can't wait to drive to, I can't wait to run this errand. You know what I want to do is you know, stop at a bunch of red lights and run this errand. The car is so great. I deliberately just want to keep going to the grocery store. That commercial always drives. I mean, like, okay, right. It's a nice car, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to believe that you want to run errands? Ooh, I got to pick up some dry cleaning. Haji, Baji. We will talk to Bob Sosi. He was there, and he was hairy.